Welcome to the Harbourcast, a weekly podcast on the events of the week, where we look day by day at events that rock our world, social media, culture, or various other things. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Please hit the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, and any other places you get your podcasts. Hi, JP. How are you doing?
Thankful, man. Glad to be here. It's been a busy week. Been a crazy week as we're about to dive into. I'm good.
Was this week crazier than last week?
No, I think the events of this week are just showing us a little bit more in depth of how everything is deeply spiritual.
Yeah, everything. I'm looking for my iPhone so I can check the stock market. I have no idea where I left it, so that's bad. But luckily, I'm the only one at the church right now. I was going to check my doggy coin.
Me too. Coin,
and see where we're at. Did you get some doggy coin?
No, I was saying I'm the only one at the church, too.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know where my phone is. That's fun. So anyways, maybe it could be lots of places. But, all right. Well, let's go ahead and get started with this week. Let's start with Monday. What was the day on Monday? February 1st. It was the first day of the month, right?
Right.
Dustin Diamond, or otherwise known as Screech, from the famous sitcom in the 90s that none of our kids really know about, probably, is dead at 44. He died from stage 4 lung cancer. The more I read on the story, JP, is really sad because he went in with some like chest pain and was dead within 2 weeks.
Yeah, one thing I saw was he was hospitalized, and then 4 days later, he died on Monday.
Yeah, like they gave him one round of treatments or something like that.
Yeah.
Man, just crazy. Dustin Diamond. So I grew up, I'm a little older than you. I grew up with like Saved by the Bell. I mean, I was like 5 or 6. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so just really when it was coming to its end, but, that's something I watch a lot on Nickelodeon or reruns. You know, we don't have reruns as much anymore because of all the media offerings we have for series. But I watched it a lot. And so I feel like I grew up alongside Zach and them and from Saved by the Bell, but, Dustin had a pretty hard life, of figuring things out after Saved by the Bell. I mean, he was on a couple of celebrity rehab shows. He was in a band. He was in all these things. And I was just looking at the story. I was thinking about, because when I saw that he died, my initial thoughts was it wasn't. I didn't know he had cancer. I had no idea. Yeah. I thought maybe something. I'm not going to say worse because cancer is pretty terrible, but something different.
Like overdose
happened. Like, man, he got, drinking or whatever because he had struggled with those type of things. But when I saw his cancer, I was like, man, just what a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then when you go back, and this is the thing that's crazy about today is, and we're going to see this more and more with bloggers on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all this type of stuff is when we see people that we, I'm not going to say idolize, but we watch and we grow with, or we listen to, or we just see into their lives slightly, even though it's acting or doing whatever. Then when they pass away, it causes what ought to cause us all to look at ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and, really examine our, which I talked about this on a Sunday night, should really cause us to grapple with our mortality.
Yeah.
You know, and understand like, hey, I am not in control.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Dustin would rather have gone out on his own terms.
Sure. Yeah.
But
not at 44.
And not at 44. Or if he knew he would have gone out this way, he would have,
he
didn't control that. He would have controlled. Well, I think he did live it up. Maybe why he had lung cancer.
Yeah.
But it's just like, man, So death, legacy, and a life, like, it's impactful and people are always watching. And so I feel like for me, as I reflect on it this week, and we talked about everything being deeply spiritual, every movement and every action has a cause or leads us to something. And our whole idea of this podcast is to redeem the things of the week, to end the week as Sabbath comes up. You know, it really technically on the Jewish calendar starts tonight at sundown. So we are redeeming these things that we are seeking Jesus as we are going before him. What does this cause me to do? And and just thinking about that on Monday, because there wasn't football on Sunday, I need to understand that my days are numbered, that my actions are important. And the way I put myself out there, which we'll talk about later on the podcast, it matters.
Yeah.
And it has impact on generations. Right. And so as we are working through things, because this will not be the last time this happens.
Right.
They always say celebrity deaths come in three. There were several celebrity deaths the week of GameStop rise, which I checked it yesterday. It was down, way down, like way down, which was still up for it. It's going to happen. So we're going to have to wrestle with that. And what that does, though, it really points to the fallenness, the brokenness of this world, that no matter the utopia, no matter the perception that we are able to put out there, that everything's good and perfect and we're in control and we're living our happy life. Blink of a switch. 4 days, man.
Yep. Yeah, see, when I heard about this and I read that it only took 4 days for the cancer to spread so far to where it took his life, I immediately thought, isn't that exactly what sin does to us? Or it has the ability to. If we look at this from a standpoint of how spiritual it is, like, cancer is a very, very tough disease for someone to go through who is experiencing it, but also for people around them to experience someone going through it. And as you look at it and you see how dangerous the spread of it is, that's why you want to catch it so early, because you don't want it to spread. And I feel like that's how we are, student, if you're listening to this, you need to see, I need to see the danger of the effects of sin spreading in my life. If student, if you're someone who struggles with, let's use an example of lust, one look isn't what makes it sinful. But looking back to it, not fleeing, the Bible says, is if you don't flee from that fast enough, it's going to spread to somewhere else. And that sin's going to take over. That sin's going to take your thoughts captive, your heart captive. And you can say that with anything. It doesn't have to be lust. It can be pride or arrogance or envy, slander, the inability to see sin in your life allows it to spread quickly. And because of that, we need to see that sin can have a hold on your life if you don't address it soon enough. And because of that, we need to be a people who take serious hating our sin, but knowing when sin comes up in our life, when we sin and we see sinfulness taking place, we immediately we turn, repent, we ask God to rid us of the sin, to pursue holiness and obedience and perfection for his glory. But this is what that's what I thought when I saw 4 days, this cancer spread so rapidly that it took his life. And obviously he had that before he went into the hospital. Mm-hmm. But sin can spread extremely quick if it's not addressed soon enough. That's kind of where I thought, where my mind went. Mm-hmm. And we know the remedy to that is Jesus.
Right. Yeah. The ultimate healer.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we can live a lifetime unaware of the repercussions of sin, just as you can live a long while without knowing you have a disease.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you experience the ramifications and the destruction of that disease.
Yeah.
And the process of healing and going through cancer treatments is destructive.
Yeah.
And it hurts. But to be healed, it's the thing. And so it's not much different for the lives of a believer.
That's right.
When you have sin in your life and you're to that point where you're like, holy cow, man, I just didn't know how spread this was into every yeah. facet of my being.
Yeah.
And here's the good news is that the Spirit convicts you of that and you are not gone. You have not been cut away. You have not yeah. been grafted out. Right. The conscience is a good thing. And so the Spirit has made you aware of, listen, I have been with you and you've been doing it on your own. And look, this is where this has led.
Yeah.
That your thoughts, your words, your motives, they're not pure right. anymore. And yeah. Not that they ever were to begin with, but now you're even more aware of like, holy cow, this, yeah. this little thing that I did, or, you know, I looked at, how I viewed things or whatever
right.
things I wanted, now where has this led me to? And the ultimate good news is this: if we are in Jesus, we don't experience a second death. We will all experience death,
yeah,
but we won't have to experience a second death, which is good news. That's a good truth.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Next day, Tuesday, we got some really good news on Tuesday.
Yeah.
EA Sports said they are going to come back out with, well, I don't think you can call it NCAA, which is fine with me. EA Sports College Football, it's back. It's been since 2014, Jason. Yeah. Some of these kids have never experienced real nope. year-to-year college football rosters changing. NCAA covers, it's madness, literal madness. Yep. I mean, I played this since 2003, 2001, growing up, being an OU fan, we were always pretty good on the game. You know, and so getting to experience those rivalries and stuff. Why are we so pumped up about it, JP?
Because we have experienced things like going through a Heisman season with Barry Sanders or Doug Flutie. Like you can recreate these Heisman seasons, these Heisman moments. And it's like this is a big deal for anybody who is a sports fan for one, but also a college football fan, because we didn't get to experience the likes of Baker Mayfield or Trevor Lawrence or that big player that has played in the past 6 or 7 seasons. We didn't get to experience playing with them on the game. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, not only are we getting it back, but we're getting it back with some of the best recruiting that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good. It's exciting.
Yeah. I think the reason why NCAA college football was so popular, especially with players, more so than Madden, like this game was bigger than Madden.
Yeah.
Is because whenever I was in high school, because there were so many teams. So yeah. Almost every college was represented. Like you had 132 teams. And you always felt like, man, I may not make it to the NFL, so I'll never be in Madden, but I could be, or my likeness could be in NCAA.
Yeah.
Like, that is not an unrealistic thought for a larger number of male athletes.
Yeah.
And so they're like, man, I can make college football. I can be in a video game. Like, you know, you can line up and see my number and I could be playing yeah. line or defense line or quarterback at OU and live and be on the cover or Sam Houston State or whatever, you know, like you could even pick in Division II teams there for a yeah. while and you could create your own player. And so the thing that I think with NCAA that gets people pumped is especially like the kids who are in college football now, like that's like that was their dream.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a realistic, like more realistic dream than NFL.
Than looking to the NFL, yeah.
You know, like it's like 1%. Yeah. Your odds of getting struck by lightning are higher. Okay. Right. But NCAA, man, there's a legit chance.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a backup to the backup. You can be on the roster for your number. And so I think that's why we're pumped about it. And especially like these guys that, you know, did play, like Kyler Murray put a real one on it.
Yeah.
Cover, which he would have been like Michael Vick was really good in that
game. He would have been a cheat code.
He would have been ridiculous. Burrow would be really good. But in this way, any dual threat quarterback was always.
Yeah, like RG3.
Yeah. And so that's why Denard Robinson was on the cover. Yeah. Homeboy ain't even in the league. Well, no, he's in the league. I think he's a receiver now. But yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I think that's why we're so excited. It gets back to that. Again, remember, we're going to bring everything into a spiritual movement.
Yeah.
It comes back to an image. And I think image is going to be, over the next three topics, a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, I can create myself in this image of who I want to be in the future or who I long to be. And that's to be the stud athlete. And so NCAA gave you that, you know, built that up in you. And you found worth in that. And you found a little bit of hope that, hey, I possibly could be that. Unless you have my genetics. And then I mean, unless I was going to be like a kicker or something, you know?
Yeah.
I guess it could have been a long snapper. which, you just signed the number one long snapper in America.
The number one?
Well, yeah. I didn't know it was a thing until I saw him post it. I was like, holy cow. The number one long snapper. Same thing. You want the number one field goal kicker.
And him signed the number one international recruit.
Who cares?
Okay. When we win the Natty next year.
You didn't win it. You don't even know who your quarterback is. Who is it? Who's your quarterback? Who's your quarterback?
Next year?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Come on.
We'll see, but.
Well, I can tell you.
As long as it's not Calamon, it doesn't matter.
Well, he's gone. He was a Senior Bowl.
Praise God.
He tore it up at the Senior Bowl, too.
Yeah,
so maybe there's MVP. something wrong with Jimbo.
No.
Anyways, I'm passionate about college football. But image, this image, that's why I think we're all excited about it, is getting your image on something, casting your image upon something, finding your worth in that image. Man, we are image-driven beings.
Yeah.
We are created in God's image. All right. But because of our sinfulness, because of Genesis 3, when we see that was not enough for Adam and Eve. They got tempted by the lie that Satan told them. The serpent said, you could be more. You could be, see, you're not God, but you could be like him. You could get to know him. And thus that sin, that idea, that very concept has intruded the hearts of man since then.
Yeah.
And you see it in everything. In every facet of life, from being a pastor to being a doctor to being a football player to being a YouTuber, it does not matter. It does not matter. It is inquisitive of man. It is part of who he is that he is worried about his image.
Yeah.
And it has to do with our constant rebellion against God and our depravity. And so that's why these games are so like a big deal. It's just, I can create this image, right? I have this idea, this hope of being this. And in NCAA, it was just one of those things where it's like, I could be there. I could possibly do that. Even if I'm the mascot, I could say I was the mascot in NCAA 2014, you know, or whatever, which I had a friend that was the mascot for OSU. And so he was supposed to compete. Back in 2012. So, I mean, technically, he could say...
You can play on mascot mode, man.
Yeah. You can play mascot mode, which is dumb. But anyways, I'm not a child. if I want to do that, I play Super Mario. But anyways, but image, man. And so we get pumped about those things because of the reality or the hopeful reality, the fake reality that we may be on there. So that was Tuesday. I am pumped about this game. And so
yeah.
I'm pumped to play. It's going to be on next gen.
system. I'm gonna have to get a PS5, but that's okay. Yeah,
you have to get the new system.
That doesn't give me a reason to get it.
It does legit give you a reason. All right, then maybe the weirdest thing. Definitely. There's been some strange things that happened in 2021, like people storming the Capitol. That was, I thought there was a chance of me seeing that, but still seeing it was kind of a deal. This guy, this rapper, okay, and I like to think with my country accent and my glowing white skin and my skinny jeans, like, I like rap. I like hip hop.
Yeah.
I like to think I'm in the game, but I'm not. It's deep. It's really deep. But Lil Uzi made all sorts of news by getting a 24 million pink diamond planted in his forehead. What does this mean for fashion moving forward, JP?
I'm not sure.
Are we gonna see kids walking around like going to the game machines and putting a quarter in to get a fake diamond and they're gonna stick it to their head?
I read somewhere if it's not surgically removed correctly, you could die.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm not gonna give you the response that came to my head.
I mean, Lil Uzi, bro. There's much better ways to use $24 million.
What? Yeah, like
$24 million.
My lights went out again. It's dark. Okay. Yeah, 24. What's to stop somebody from shooting you and ripping that thing out of your head?
And going and pawning it.
Well, yeah, like the diamond market's already super crooked.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Blood Diamond, all right, the diamond, they don't care. Because what they'll do to that thing is they'll cut it up and turn it into multiple things.
That's right.
It's just, again.
What if you, like, turn in the middle of the night and it, like, rips out?
Well, hopefully like it gets you
cut on caught on a thread and you're done for, man. Like,
I'm sure he's got some really nice sheets.
Maybe.
But there's not going to be any threads.
Yeah.
It just goes. We talking about image, right?
Yeah. People want to create their own image. They want to be known for. I mean, it's just like, goodness, 24 mil.
Yeah, this is dumb. And it's pink. Yeah, well, I mean, it's rare. Pink diamond. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this has moved out of the gangster rap, because it's definitely not gangster rap to put 24 million diamond in your forehead, because I'm pretty sure they would all just, I mean, I like to get Ice Cube and Dre's take on this, like all these 90s rappers, right? And just Snoop. I wonder what Snoop thinks. I mean, I think I know what he thinks, but yeah. $24 million. I mean, it's just, man, and students, whoever's listening to this, I mean, this is just us kind of ranting on this.
Yeah.
It makes me more and more thankful, because I'm thinking of that verse right now. It's in my head. So, God, who are you that you're mindful of man? Who is man that you're mindful of me because of this crap right here? I'm sure, I don't know. This may be one of the worst ways to spend $24 million.
I think so.
I mean, they're done. There have been terrible ways. I mean, people have lost $24 million last week trying to bet off of GameStop.
Right.
But they didn't put a dime in the middle of their forehead.
They sure didn't.
I mean, they just got taken by a bunch of trolls, but oh man.
You gotta think like this. Next Halloween, you're gonna see kids with a fake pink diamond.
They're like, hey, are you Vision? No, I'm a little Uzi.
Exactly. Like,
I may do it.
And their grandparents are going to be like, who?
Yeah. Yeah. Just. And hurts my heart, man.
Howard, you know those memes, like, when I grow up, I'm going to tell my kids this was blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's got to be a meme out there with Lil Uzi with a $24 million pink diamond in his forehead with someone saying, when I grow up, I'm going to tell my kids that this was somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some pretty funny ones.
There is,
yeah. Thanos looking at Lil Uzi Vert, like.
Yeah.
It's like, funny. Someone said, didn't you see what Thanos did to Vision? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's always the rule of the jungle. There's always a bigger predator.
Yeah.
Like,
it's mind blowing.
Kids, don't copy this trend.
No.
Please. Please. But anyways,
I think that's all that needs to be said about Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thursday. JP, Thursday. You got this one.
Yeah, Thursday.
Well, let me preface this real quick. So when we pick these topics, guys, we pick things according to Google Trends in America. So most of these were the number one search topics. Some of the number one search topics are soccer. And so you guys don't want to talk about soccer. We're talking about cultural life things, yeah. Things that you can see on social media. And so this is where everything comes from. It's coming, well, most of it. Sometimes we'll find off other trends like Twitter, but these are where they're coming. So we're taking what people are looking up, like 200,000 people plus, or 500,000 people plus, and we're just like, let's address it, because most likely you or your friend or someone has talked about it, retweeted it, seen it, or you follow this person on YouTube, or you see them on Netflix, yeah. Or you know. So that's where we're coming from. Just to preface everything that we do.
Yeah, so Thursday there was some big news with JoJo Siwa or Siwa. I think Siwa.
Maybe I should watch one of her videos to find out how.
But she this said big her name. News was that she came out as a member of. She came out as a member of the LGBTQ plus community. And just to add to that preface. I have a brother who's a member of the LGBTQ plus community. He claims to be a practicing homosexual. And I think that this is important for, if you're a student, if you're listening to this, even if you're an adult and you stumbled onto this and you kept listening, we need to understand that if we claim to be Christians, the biblical worldview, the narrative of the Bible, what it teaches and what Jesus established on earth, what God has given to his church today, that has to permeate and affect every aspect of our life. And so whenever we bring topics like this up, we're not bringing it up to be crude or shrewd about practicing homosexuals or people who would claim to be transgender or queer or whatever. We bring it up because this affects every area of our life. Claiming to follow Jesus is not some game or a therapy that makes us feel better. We don't come at this thinking that we're better. And I want people to know that I've never once thought to myself, because I claim to be married to a woman and I claim to follow Jesus because he's affected my life. I've never used that as a pedestal to stand over somebody. To say I'm better than you, because I know I'm the worst sinner I know. Like I know the vile things that I've done in my life, but this really hits and affects a lot of students that you and I minister to weekly, and students that we will have the opportunity to minister to in the years to come. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote down a few quotes that I was reading about this. Story. She comes out, and this is what she says. She comes out as having a girlfriend, and she says, I have the most amazing, wonderful, perfect, most beautiful girl in the world. And I first thought to myself, and she, let me add to this, she's 17 years old. And I don't add that because it's like, she's 17, she's going through a phase. She may fully know what she's doing. But to add words like most amazing, most wonderful, most perfect, most beautiful. Like, those are absolutes. And we need to know, like, the words that we use to describe things are heavy. And so I think that the way she's described her coming out, and the way she's described her girlfriend, it's important to, not for me to critique what she's saying. I have no idea who her girlfriend is. I don't even know her name. But I bring this up to let you as a student know it's important how you describe things. It's important how you say things. But what's even more important is JoJo has 42 million followers combined on all of her social media platforms, from Instagram to TikTok to whatever it is. 42 million, most of which are preteens, so 11 and 12 or younger. Mm-hmm. And she claims that this is her target audience. That is massive. Because I read, let me see if I can find it real quick. I read a quote that said, someone wrote an article about this and said that she, in her coming out, she is someone that these preteens can look up to, as someone that a generation has never seen before. The quote is, that means many children will now see someone they look up to living their true queer selves and happy about it. Something I never experienced as a child. Mm-hmm. I think that this is very, very deep, because mm-hmm. you and I have students in our ministries who may really look up to this girl. I have young ladies in my ministry who are cheerleaders who likely know who this lady is, who likely look up to her in some way, being a cheerleader or a dancer, I guess. But I think that, like, this is...
And we're back. We're sorry about that little break. Go ahead, JP.
Yeah, I think it's important for students or adults, whoever's listening to this, to understand how deeply spiritual gender, not just gender identity, but sexual orientation, stuff like this, who you claim to be, who you claim to like or love or whatever, is important, especially if you claim to follow Jesus. Understanding that the biblical worldview and the narrative of the Bible calls us to let that permeate and affect every area of our life. We need to see that we have to take a firm stance on a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that means some people may not like what you say, what you think, what you do. Some people will be offended. And like I prefaced before, I'm not here to offend anybody. We're not bringing this up because we think that we stand over and think that we're better because we say we follow Jesus. We're saying we have the remedy for sin and death, and we have eternal life in Jesus, and he's freely given it to us. But with that in mind, there's this idea, this trending idea that I can be whoever I want to be. I can like whoever I want to like. And the sooner I come out, the more I'll be accepted and people will love me for it. And I watched a little bit of JoJo's coming out video on Instagram, and she prefaced it with, I've received so much love in the past 72 hours. And it seems like the driving factor with all of this is, maybe not the driving factor, but a response that we often see is, I know that I am loved and accepted, and it's because I was finally, quote unquote, honest. And I think for students coming up, for people who may be influenced by this, it is important to see that who you think you are is not who God has made you to be. You don't get to necessarily decide who you are one day and who you are the next. Mm-hmm. But a loving God who lovingly created you, who tells us in his word, he's made us, fashioned us together in the womb of our mother. He knows every hair on our head. He knows exactly who we are because he is creatively and lovingly made us that way. He gets to tell us who we are. He gets to tell us whose image we're made in. And he lovingly doesn't allow us to choose who we can be. And so all that to say, I think that this is a very, very deep subject.
Well, yeah, it's deep. And it's one that's not new.
That's right.
Like, I know it feels like that we are enlightened people. And in some ways, we have been blessed and we have been enlightened from some things due to technology and advancements just within society. The longer it goes, it's going to change. But the struggle with the image and who we are and who we feel like we are on the inside is it's something that's gone on since the beginning.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand that. And so and in Western culture, especially today in a postmodern, a post-truth culture, it's harder to talk about these things or discuss them and stand for truth because truth can be in opposition of what someone sincerely believes.
Yeah.
And it can be hurtful to that person. And so as Christians, when we stand, if we are a believer, if we are a follower of Jesus, if we stand in opposition and we hurt someone's feelings, we feel like we're wrong.
Sure.
And or that they're right. And that's what's hard and scary about all this.
Yeah.
Is there is a way for us, because everything is a deeply spiritual motivation. Yes. This is if it's about happiness.
Right.
Like acceptance. If we read or listened or watched her, there is a deep longing for happiness and acceptance for who I am from everybody. That's not just an LGBTQ plus whatever they're going to add next community. That's every person on this planet.
Yeah.
Has that we same
long for happiness.
Yes.
Love to know that we're loved, to know we're accepted. Yeah.
Yes. Same exact struggle.
And
go ahead,
and
JP.
To the practicing homosexual or the student that thinks that this is okay, like this isn't a bad thing or that she's brave, I want to let you know, Jesus died for the sins of JoJo Siwa. Jesus died for the sins of JP Black and Blake Marlowe. He died for the sins of all of humanity. And within that, like, I don't want to ever make the LGBTQ community feel like Jesus doesn't love them based on the sins that they practice daily. I want to let them know, Jesus loves you so much that he died and took your sin on a cross. He can cover you in his blood if you would freely accept and place your faith in him. Mm-hmm. Along with that comes a lifestyle of change. But to those who are listening who thinks like this is brave or that it's okay and me and Blake need to kind of just take a step back and like, hey, that's a little too far. No, like we're trying to get you to see if you claim to follow Jesus, it permeates every area of your life.
Well, if you have a view that lenses, like gospel lenses, Jesus, Jesus filled lenses, even in the midst of your struggle and your pain, like this should cause mourning.
Yeah.
Like it hurts.
Yeah.
I don't know if anger is the right call because, but that's the backlash that the church has gone through in the past, especially the Western church. Well, not, I mean, because that's what we're going to look at. We're looking at where we're at now.
Right. Yeah.
We look at the church just over the past 30 years. It's keyed in on one thing and one thing. It's like a divorce is the issue. Same-sex marriage is the issue. Critical race theory is the issue. Being pro-choice is the issue. Like, but like all those things are lined in the same place. And so as believers, here's what we need to be. We need to be thoughtful in our response, thoughtful and kind and loving in our actions.
Yeah.
All right. The commandment to love your neighbor is not omitted if they are a sinner.
That's like, right. Yeah.
It's like we love them just as much as we ought to love our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And we care for them, but even like they're our brothers and sisters, even though we know they're not.
Yeah.
And so that, like, if you know you have a brother and sister that is sick, you're going to do everything you can for them to be healed.
Yeah.
Or we ought to. We ought to.
Definitely.
And so, but how do you do that? Well, you're not going to be a jerk, you know?
Right, yeah.
You are going to do everything in your power and kindness and your love and hopefully in mercy to make that happen.
Yeah.
And so as believers in a world that wants to live according to its own truth, like, so you, relativism,
right?
We have to be purveyors of truth. So meaning we ought to live a life that's so set in the truth of the gospel that people see that and they say, I want a piece of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and I could be kind of wrong here. I'm going to admit it, but what it seems to me from an outsider's view, and I'm not, because I have friends and family that are in this community. You know, we have students in our youth groups, the odds say, that are struggling with this.
Yeah.
Like 80% of the LGBT, it's like 81% of the LGBTQ community was in a church.
Right.
And left the church after they were 18. That's right. So that means like you guys have thoughts and struggles, and that's okay. That's okay. And we should be the place where you can talk about this, and let's talk about happiness, and let's talk about seeking acceptance and why this is wrong, why this is not right, and what Jesus actually says about these things, and why they are not for us. And if God wants us to be happy, then why can't we do these things? Well, happiness isn't the goal. Like, that's not, happiness is not the end all be all point in this life. That's not. You know, because I'm perfectly happy when I'm getting my shoulders rubbed by my wife. I'm perfectly happy when I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper. But guess what? Those things end. No, the end all be all is worshiping Jesus and it being in so in awe of him that nothing else matters.
Right. Yeah.
And that's only gonna happen in the new heavens and the new earth.
That's right, yeah.
When we are no longer in a broken world. But until then, what we have to do and what we should do is we imitate Jesus.
Yeah. And God graciously allows us to have our hearts enthralled by Jesus now.
Right.
And we get to look to a hope where that's going to be amplified in heaven, like in full.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're looking at the whole picture. And and so when we respond to these stories, I understand, like, this girl has far greater reach than I have.
Yeah.
In that we are influenced by those things.
Definitely.
And they infiltrate our entire lives. We need to make sure that we're running to Scripture.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that we're firm in a truth that does not change based on emotion.
Yeah.
Or cultural backgrounds. So that's the thing, like, that's the thing that's scary is, as students, we need to make sure that when we are addressing these things, before we blindly accept them as truth, that we look at them in light of everything. That's just good practice. That's just good practice. We need to look at the context of the words, the context of the life. She's a 17-year-old girl, and she's feeling some very real things. But do those feelings and emotions dictate lifelong decisions and choices?
That's right.
No, that's just wisdom. We just need to have wisdom in that. And so when we respond to these issues, when we respond to our friends who are struggling with this or feel like, man, I love everybody. Like I'm not really attracted to one more than the other. That's just, you are who you are, and you're a boy. You are a man or a boy. You're created in God's image. You are called to love all people.
That's right.
Your sexual attraction does not define who you are in God's image. Like who God defined you. Like that's not where your acceptance and value is. All right. Your acceptance and value is found in Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah.
And so when we do that, then like we can maybe have a better conversation of what truth is and what these things are and what scripture says. All right. And so as Christians, we just have to be very careful because there's two lines.
Yeah.
And it's total, complete condemnation, which that's going to happen for all those who are practicing things that are opposite of what Jesus commanded us to. That's very, very clear.
Yeah.
Very clear. It's in opposition of God. Like
that's right.
There is no fear of God there. That's living in fear of man.
Yeah.
And then if you live in fear of God, you have this where, you know, you're going to practice these things and you're going to be obedient and be in step with the Father and seeking Him does not mean you don't struggle. Like that's part of the brokenness of the world. And so, but then there's the line of, well, if God is love, then He wants all people to be happy. Well, that's not a complete image of God. We have to look at the whole picture. God is just and God is righteous.
Yeah. And that equates love to simply just being happy.
Right. And it's more. Happiness has to do, like, it has repercussions. Like you can be serial murderers are happy.
They find satisfaction in
they find joy in that.
Taking a life,
murder, like, you know, racist find happiness in certain things. So we can't define happiness or being a good person as completion.
Yeah, I got a feeling Jesus wasn't feeling happy on the cross when he displayed his love, right? Like, he may have felt happiness in some sense, knowing he was fully taking on God's will for his life.
Joyful suffering, you know.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm getting.
What my suffering, yeah,
completely different, yeah.
But as believers, as Christians, this is important, like that we can be accepting, loving, and kind. So we look at the story, someone that you grew up with, and we can be mournful and sad, and say, man, I just don't agree. I love you. I'm sorry that you're going this way, that you're making these decisions. In no way am I being hateful or hurtful. But according to the word, I just can't accept that. Doesn't mean I don't accept you. Doesn't mean I don't acknowledge you. Doesn't mean I won't have conversations with you or have coffee with you. It doesn't mean any of those things. Because if that was the instance, then we should not be eating or breaking bread together at all because of the sin in our lives.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But also because we're Christ, it doesn't give us freedom, as Paul says in Galatians 5. He says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. Yeah. These are opposed to each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so he says, now that the works of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts, or anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, whatever that means, and anything similar, I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So as believers, and Paul writes it down, like, these are the things that we're supposed to be: loving, patient, kind, joyful, and have goodness and faithfulness. So we can't be a part of those things, right? Because those things, we can't be practicing in those things. Doesn't mean, yeah, it doesn't say if you struggle with that. No, because we're seeking something greater than those temporary pleasures. And so, as we go through the week, as we go through these things, man, I am open to dialogue and talking. I want you guys to make your own decisions and be informed and think through them. Yeah. And so when this came up, I want to talk with JP just because of JP's family and things that he's done with and practicing what he's preaching. And so as students, we just need to be like, I'm sorry, you know, and I'm praying for you. I mean, just giving those basic responses, but like, this isn't the last time it's going to happen.
No.
You know, these type of things. And so, but what we want you to understand is happiness and acceptance are not the main point of living.
And they're not fulfilling.
No, right? No, because, like, yeah, because listen here. You see this OKC flag here? There's been times when they brought me more joy than anything in my life. When we beat the Lakers in the series, when we beat the Spurs to go to the NBA championship, I was on a mission trip and opened up the windows onto the balcony. This is a nice mission trip at a beach. and I screamed, yeah! I mean, I was pumped. Like, I've never felt that way before. You know, because I never thought Oklahoma City would have an NBA team. Like, we're going to be in the we're gonna be in the finals. Like, you would have told me that 5 years ago. I'm like, you are, well, we actually had them by then. But, like, there's no way. There's no way. And so, but guess what?
And then
we
what
lost.
Happened?
We lost. We won. we won game one big time. And then we should have won game two. But, yeah, went 4-1. LeBron James having. But anyways,
right.
Happiness and acceptance, man, it's going to flip. It's going to twist. And you can see it within these parties. We can talk about that in a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
But it happens within the church when you wrap your identity within a building, or even within some of the community within the building. If it's not found in anything but Christ, it's going to fail you.
That's right. Go read Ecclesiastes.
Right. When all is failed, fear God and keep his commandments.
That's right. You can test the waters. I think God wants you to test us to find happiness.
Wait, what did you say, JP?
You'll find that in your
God wants you to taste the waters. What?
I think he wants you to. I think he's okay with us testing waters to try to find happiness.
What kind of water are you talking about?
Right. Test. Not taste.
I thought you said taste.
We might have to cut this part out.
No, I think it's
If people get this far into the podcast, I'll be impressed.
Man, yeah. Whew, I'm blushing.
But I think God's okay with us testing waters to seek and be in pursuit of happiness, only to know that we're going to find joy in surrendering and following him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we went long enough on that one. Next Friday, it's the last Friday before the Super Bowl, and so this is how we're going to end. Yeah. We got to talk football, all right? So maybe next week we'll talk about recruiting and how A&M has the best recruiting class they've had in years and how it doesn't even matter at all. But anyways, so, JB, who do you have, Chiefs or Bucks, and why?
I've really gone back and forth with this. I think I've got the Chiefs. I honestly think Patrick Mahomes is baby goat. I think that their offense is too high powered for even a good defense like the Bucks. I think that no matter what you do, even if you try to double team Travis Kelce, you leave guys like Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill open, and Mecole Hardman. And then if you play zone, Patrick Mahomes has shown that he can carve up zone like none other. So I mean, it's gonna be tough to it's gonna be tough for the Bucks to score as many points as the Chiefs can, and hope that they get a stop in between.
They look pretty good against the Packers. So, I mean, I want to say my answer is the Browns because the NFL hosed the Browns against the Chiefs. Baker Mayfield played just as good as Patrick Mahomes in that game, FYI. And he played the whole game. He didn't get no concussion.
And, yeah, but I think that's the point is that he played the whole game and still didn't win.
Well, I'm sorry that his defense, but that defense let Chad good. Henney.
That defense is
Chad
good.
Chad Henney.
It's not even about that run. It's about –
it was third down and 14.
Tyrann Mathieu, man. He's a stud.
Whatever. Whatever.
Anyways, who do you got?
Pains me to say this, but I have to give in. Tom Brady is the GOAT. He's going to do GOAT things. And he's going to give one massive gesture to all of the world, specifically in the Northeast. Inappropriate.
Yeah.
When he lifts that the Lombardi trophy and Gronk retires again.
For the seventh.
And he'll have seven Super Bowls rings in 11 wow. tries. Think about that. 10. 70%.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane. That's crazy. I think the Bucks defense is pretty good.
They're good.
And the Chiefs, I mean, I think the Chiefs will exploit them over the top because that's what they did to everybody.
Yeah.
They do have speed, but so does Tampa Bay. And so and Tampa Bay's got a good running game. And Fournette's played really well in the playoffs. There's three. They have three running backs. Now, they're not like the Browns running game.
Right.
Which wasn't very – the Chiefs kind of shut it down. But
– right, yeah. I mean, that D-line.
But as far as wide receiver weapons, Brady's got – his weapons are better than the Browns were. I mean, without – if you have Odell, I mean, that helps. But
maybe, yeah.
Mike Evans and Godwin and – Antonio Brown, like that's
if he plays, yeah.
Yeah, if he plays. I mean, that's pretty good. Mike Evans is a stud. He can get anything.
And then Gronk. Anytime.
Yeah, every time I watch them, Gronk never catches a pass. Like, doesn't yeah, mean weird. He hasn't. It's weird. Always the other tight end. But I hope it's a close game because that is then part of me hopes it's not a close game so I can send everybody home early. Because we're having a Super Bowl watch party. And so I'm going with the Bucks. Ndamukong Suh finally gets a ring, which I don't like him. Shaq Barrett, he's been talking on the smack, which really, maybe this is me trying to jinx the Bucks. So I don't know. I like Andy Reid. I like Andy Reid.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a guy from 40, Amani Watts. Plays for the Chiefs. So, you know, it's good for the area for him to get another ring. You know, they're long snappers from OU. James Winchester played at OU from Washington, just right down the road where I'm from. So I have a little more connection with the old Kansas City Chiefs. But I would like Tampa Bay to win it just so we could have a discussion about who is Title Town, L.A. or Tampa Bay. Think about it. Because the Lightning won, which is sad for us. The Lightning won the Stanley Cup. Bucks could win the Super Bowl. And you had the Rays and the Dodgers in the World Series last year.
Yep.
And the Rays. Yeah, but they don't have a basketball team, so that doesn't count. The Rays lost that series. Anyways, it's like kicking a field goal when you're down 5.
Yeah.
Green Bay. So, still talking about that. With Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. That's right. Patrick Mahomes would have ran
38-27, Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, score.
38-27.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with – it's in Tampa Bay. Weather's going to be nice.
Well, it might rain.
Oh, well, if it rains.
55% chance.
Well, it's Florida. It rains every day, so it's, right. It's whatever. Closer than the experts, and I think they have it pretty close. I think Kansas City's what a.
I feel like a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I wish I should have looked at the over under. Let's say 44-35, Tampa Bay. They win by 9. But it's closer. They get a touchdown at the end just to give themselves some room.
Yeah.
Someone goes for a 2-point, doesn't get it. Someone gets a safety. I mean, if anyone's gonna get a safety, it's gonna be Tampa Bay's gonna get like Brady will get sacked in the end zone. And then he'll get angry and like Super Saiyan out and like he's just mad. So all right. Well, guys, that's enough for this week. We've wandered to and fro through Saved by the Bell to JoJo to – oh, is that her name? I even remember. Yeah, JoJo. Yeah. I was here for the entire time. To Brady and Mahomes. Join us next week as we discuss more, I'm sure, controversial topics that happen within the life. If you buy stocks, AMC is pretty cheap right now. I'm out.
24 mil on your forehead.
That's right. Yeah, don't do that. See you.